Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Pete Futek coming up in 1 hour's time. The quarterback Deadpool coming up at 3:40. But obviously, we also got to get to the breaking news from the Browns earlier today. We'll have a conversation on. But Shedeur Sanders and the Browns getting ready for the Raiders game. Our next guest has been a believer in Shedeur Sanders since going back to college. Of course, this is an opportunity to see the first start for Shedeur Sanders in the NFL. To talk about that and so much more, we head out to the fan hotline and welcome on the owner and operator of Football Game Plan and CBS Sports HQ, Emory Hunt. Emory, welcome to the show, bud.
Glad to be on, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Well, it's always great to have you. Always have such a great perspective on this. I guess we'll start here. You've been a guy that believed in Shedeur in the pre-draft process and all the way through the draft. What are your expectations on Sunday for Shedeur in his first NFL start?
It's going to be exciting because the one thing he has right now with the Browns that he's never had at Jackson State or at Colorado is a run game. And so the fact that he can play a balanced game, I'm excited to see what that looks like. That's something that we hadn't really seen before. But I expect him personally just to play within himself, play his game, do the easy stuff within the 20s and inside the 20 where he really excelled in college, be Shedeur Sanders. So he can play the Dylan Gabriel game within the 20s. And then once you get inside the 20s, that's when you see him supersede and play above the X's and O's. And that's where Shedeur Sanders really stood out at Jackson State. He stood out there in Colorado, and he's going to stand out here, I believe, in the pros in that regard.
Yeah, it's something we've been talking about for the first little bit of the show here is, will he revert back to what we think Stefanski wants him to be, which is more like Dylan Gabriel, or is he going to be able to be himself? Do you feel like when you watch on Sunday, you'll see classic Shedeur?
Yeah, you'll see classic Shedeur. And the thing is, here's the ironic twist about this ball game is because they can play the Dylan Gabriel game and win this ball game strictly off the run game and the defense, because that's where the Raiders will have some issues dealing with the Browns defense and also dealing with the consistency of this run game. Now, when you add the ability to push the ball at the intermediate to deep levels as opposed to short to intermediate, that's where Shedeur Sanders can help extend this game and help these guys score 20 points offensively as opposed to what we've seen from them under Gabriel in this offense, which has been sort of truncated in terms of it's a short to short intermediate as opposed to an intermediate to deep passing game. So when you have the ability to expand the passing game, you kind of lift that umbrella up a little bit on the defense, which allows you then to run the football rather well. Play action pass will be a much more vital and critical and successful, and you have a threat now at quarterback that can push that ball deep, which changes how you play defense against the Browns.
Emory, I'm not going to surprise you here. The discourse around Shedeur has taken over the actual football of Shedeur, with people that don't like him, we call him Shahaters, and the people that just unapologetically love him, Shaporters. I'm curious to take people all the way back to the draft. One of the knocks from Shahaders is, well, he's a fifth-round pick. Is that where you had, in terms of his draft value, where did you have Shedeur and why?
He was my number one quarterback in the class, and I compared him to Joe Burrow. And the reason why I compared him to Burrow, we saw that manifest itself in the preseason, both with Burrow and with Shedeur, right? We saw Shedeur not knowing when to let a dead play die, took a crazy sack. Then we saw Burrow later on that week against the Washington Commanders in the preseason took a crazy sack where he held the ball for like 9 seconds instead of throwing it away and took like a 15-yard loss. So that was the Shador part negative that I compared Burrow to. The positive was that when the game is on the line, when you need those gotta have it moments, that's what Shador really excelled. And we saw that at Jackson State, time and time again, playing high-level football, winning back-to-back championships. And we saw it at Colorado when he was able to turn that team around in just one short offseason. But my thing is, people are always fascinated. When you talk about fifth-round pick, he's not a fifth-round talent. He went in the fifth round. That's like saying Isaiah Bond is an undrafted talent. No, he was a first- or second-round talent that just happened to go undrafted because of unforeseen issues. But these are the same people that had Shador Sanders as day one pick or a second round talent. Now, these are the same ones that are telling us that the 2026 class is going to be great with Nussmeier, Beck, Arch Manning, Kay Kubnick, Lenora Sellers. Not one of these same people mentioned Moore, Simpson, and Mendoza. So why would we listen to those same people when they just told us that their evaluation of talent ain't worth the paper it's printed on? So to me, it's okay to get a quarterback wherever you get him, just as long as he can play, because we've seen it done with Jalen Hurts, Andy Dalton, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Kaepernick, Purdy, Cousins, Favre, Moon, Brady, Derek Carr, Montana, Boomer, Tyson, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo, Matt Hasselbeck, Ken Anderson, Jeff Garcia, Cunningham, Warner, Faust. Can I go on? Because it's crazy
got them
to
all.
Think it's crazy to think that a dude just went in the fifth round can't play. So just because he went where he went, that just cancels out everything that you watched him with your own two eyes in college at two different universities.
Okay, so what's the story on Monday if it doesn't work out on Sunday? And you know, this is coming from someone like myself that has defended Shador the entire time.
Full supporter.
And so I'm not trying to put you on a spot. But I am curious of your angle on it. I'm curious of if it doesn't go well on Sunday, what do you think the reasoning behind that will be, or what do you think your answer will be?
Here's the thing. We saw it didn't go particularly well in 38 plays, and people already have said he can't play in the NFL of 38 snaps. Nothing will change regardless of the outcome because the goalposts are already starting to move. I've seen some people say, there's nothing he can do in these last games that would stop the Browns from taking a quarterback in the first round. Like, okay, bro, like you even see the rest of the season and you already moving the goalposts. We should be the most in-shape country with the way folks move goalposts around. Right? It don't matter if he throws the 400 yards or they go out there and he plays an elongated game like he played against the Baltimore Ravens where it's just sloppy. It's his first start, and you got to offer him the same grace that you offered Dylan Gabriel in his first start and allow him to grow. And then after the season, when he has his six or seven games and you compare those with Dylan Gabriel's six or seven games and you come to a conclusion, okay, well, maybe we can build around these two guys, or maybe we can go into the draft or go into free agency and get someone, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater after one full start of his first full season, first full week of practice as a starter, just because you don't like the guy. I just think that's just asinine. Maybe I'm the crazy one that's trying to keep it football when everybody else around me trying to do it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
The other way.
Emory Hunt, owner of Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ as well on the fan hotline here, breaking down Shador's first start. Now, there is still a wide contingent of people that at this moment believe the Browns will be going quarterback early in this draft. There's been a lot of debate about the worthiness of the potentially draft-eligible 2026 quarterback, so I'll ask you, and I know this is early because we still have the playoffs to go, we still have a couple more weeks of the regular season to go, but what draft-eligible quarterbacks for 2026 in college have impressed you?
Haynes King, number one, because it's funny with Haynes King, I know he's an older prospect, but at this point at quarterback, we don't care. You know, you saw the Saints take Tyler Shuck in the second round. So if you could play, you could play. So for me with Haynes King, it's funny because all you hear surrounding him is, I mean, if he could throw, he'd be great. If he could throw, he could be fine. He runs really well. But every time you look up, he's like 35 or 38, 400 yards passing, and 150 yards rushing, right? Like, and his team is winning. So those quarterbacks I like. Taylen Green has the Randall Cunningham athleticism, but he puts the ball on the turf a lot. So, you know, that wouldn't be someone I would take in the first round, but definitely someone that has work-withable tools. And when you look at the guys that people are talking about, the Dante Moores, you kind of want to see it consistently. We only seen it for 1 year. Ty Simpson, really small sample size with no A-plus traits in terms of, like, arm strength or mobility. Now, he's scrappy, and right now he plays kind of like how Mac Jones plays, which I like. You know, a guy that just don't care about what's going on. He's going to try to find a way to make a play. And Mendoza, I feel like, is getting the – somebody got to be first overall, right? So they're pushing Mendoza, and I think that's unfair to him, even though he does have some pro tools. He has a good arm. He got great velocity. I like that he's being battle-tested this year. And so the book is still open for him because he still has some more high-leverage games left on the schedule. But right now, I wouldn't have a first-round grade on any quarterback. But again, you're talking to somebody that doesn't mind taking a quarterback in the third round. If he can play, let him be the starter. If anything, that helps your organization out, spend money elsewhere.
All right, Emory, I like how you think for the most part, so I want your big picture thought on this, okay? Jimmy Haslam's like, hey, Emory, I heard you on 92.3 The Fan. I need to do with Paul DePodesta. You're my guy. And so tomorrow, you become Paul DePodesta, okay?
Can we be your acolytes, by the way?
Gladly take the job with you. Yeah.
We just want to talk football and maybe drink some beer. I don't know if that's allowed.
Not much actual work, though. Just like doing things.
No.
Not even putting them out there.
Very little actual practical use for you, but we're good hangs.
We'll be your henchmen. So you're in charge of fixing the Browns. How do you do it? What's your roadmap? What does this look like?
Point of attack play wins you games at the youth level, at the high school level, at the college level, at the pro level. So I'm looking to, you know, rebuild the offensive line. I think the Browns did a fantastic job doing that on the defensive side this year. And I think when we're talking about rebuilding the offensive line, you could bring back some of the veterans that you currently have on the roster, but you also can have a plan in place, get some high leverage guys that can grow with your organization up front. Because if you can't win the point of attack, nothing else truly matters. And this is coming from a former college running back that loves skill positions, but I have grown. The more I've matured, I've understood the value of having great point of attack play. And then I would also try to find some receivers, secondary players as well, because that's what they have to do. They have to get better and bigger around Shedeur Sanders, in my opinion. But point of attack play is where you have to be solid first on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they drafted four offensive linemen this year. But give us some of the names to watch on offense that you think – yeah, let's go under the assumption that Stefanski's still here, that fit maybe what the Browns like to do.
I like Spencer Fano, the tackle out of Utah. You know, you can't go wrong with it. Yeah, that's one of these sight unseen type programs. If you tell me we got a lineman from Utah or, you know, defensive player from Kansas State, I don't even have to see the tape. I'm all in. I'm sold, right? So Fano is one of those guys. I also like Caden Proctor, big mammoth tackle from Alabama. To me, that's someone that, you know, If he can get, I know this sounds weird to say, but if he can get that weight down a little bit, we'll see the best of him. And when you think about the potential of someone like him and DeJuan Jones, my goodness, that's the type of tackles you have that could block out the sun. So those two guys I will start first. And we've seen this before where you go and get linemen, and especially in the draft that is considered not to be deep along the offensive line in terms of high-end talent. So why not use those high leverage first round picks to grab two of the best at the position right now. And then you can, you know, do the draft like you did last year and find good talent the rest of the way. But if you can get two elite talents at the point of attack, if I'm the Browns, those two guys are who I'm going for right out of the gate.
Has Stefanski earned a job in your department?
I will say this. As I've watched Stefanski, it has, first I was super critical in the summer. And then at some point, I'm sitting there like, it can't be Stefanski, right? It can't just be him. So I'm still up in the air on Stefanski, man, because at the end of the day, if you had to give up your offense twice, to your play callers, well, what is it about the offense that gives you trepidation to where every quarterback that has left your organization has Flacco looks like a completely different player since he left the Browns. And everyone that has left this offense has played really well at that position. So I find it fascinating that the offense is the issue. If I could just have an offensive coordinator and let Stefanski just be the head coach, I'm cool with that. Cause I feel that's another one of my personal philosophies where I want to get back to where the head coach is the head coach. The offensive coordinator is the offensive coordinator. Only a very rare few can handle both. And if you can't handle both, if you're not one of those special guys like a Sean McVay, just be the head coach and delegate responsibilities to your offensive and defensive coordinators.
All right, Emery, I like me some Harold Fannin Jr. I like me some Quinshon Judkins. I actually still think Wyatt Teller can play. I just think he's surrounded by not nearly enough. But how many offensive players are the Browns away? They're 32nd out of 32 offenses right now. How many offensive players are they away from even being like the 16th or 17th best offense in the NFL?
Not far, man. I'd say like two. You know, if you could just solidify the offensive line, they've been banged up. So the thing that people don't discuss enough about with the offensive line is like the secondary. Continuity is king, which means communication is paramount. And if you're constantly switching guys around, they can't communicate because everybody's speaking a different language. You want to have everyone grow the same, speaking the same language, doing the same things, and that time on task together, both verbally and physically, creates the offensive line cohesiveness to help, you know, your offense go. The Browns had a fantastic draft with what they were able to do in the running game with Fannin, and also I'm a big fan of Isaiah Bond. He just didn't have the full offseason to really work himself into game shape. So they've done the right things. They're not that far off. Maybe another receiver, a big dog out there on the perimeter with somebody that can really work the middle of the field and also stretch the middle of the field. But they're fine. I just think that they need another lineman and also one of these big dogs at receiver. There's enough on that roster right now to be competent offensively.
Emery, it's always great to talk with you, man. Not only are you knowledgeable, but you always got great energy. We appreciate you, buddy. I'm sure we'll be talking with you not just the rest of the season, but certainly going into the next draft as well.
Appreciate you guys. Always a pleasure, man. Glad I was able to help you guys out. And again, you guys are on the radio out there in Cleveland. Let's make this deep Podesta role happen. I'm available.
Hey, you listen, it benefits you, it benefits us. That's what we're about here. Emery Hunt there, CBS Sports HQ, and the owner of Football Game Plan on the Fan Hotline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.